Tonight, James eats a cupcake. Mike bashes the gays. And we put little boats in our pockets.
And this is Mike from CouchPotatoMike.com.
Yeah, that was horrible. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Wonderful, actually. And we'll find out why that it's actually, instead of like, oh, of course I'm wonderful, instead of like, oh, I feel dead.
Today is going to be an interesting day.
It is.
This is going to be a fun podcast. We're going to learn a lot of interesting stuff.
All right, Mr. Van.
And we're going to have fun doing it, okay? Okay. Now, if you'll all sing with me, I'm going to show you a little song about lesbian seagulls.
Kumbaya. Yeah. I had... Seemed like there was something I wanted to talk about in the... Oh!
Did I derail you?
No.
Okay.
I just forgot that, you guys can now download the Survival Punk ebook.
An ebook? Oh my goodness!
There's a fucking ebook. DIY to Survive.
Well, that was the shortest episode ever.
Yeah, no, that's the name of the book. DIY to Survive. It has a longer name, like Prepper Projects for.
You wrote an ebook and you don't even know what you fucking named it.
It was a subtitle. God. It's a collection of 36. I know, I tried to have 37 odd number. But the 37th one that snuck in there was wrong. So it's actually a curation of 36 DIY projects on the Survival Punk website that are old and you have probably missed it. Like, with over 500 articles on Survival Punk, it's kind of hard to find things that were published, you know, way back in the day. So this will sort of bring a couple of those forward and make it an ebook. You can read it conveniently. I went through and re-edited them.
Ow.
So you can check them out. And if you've not subscribed to the subscriber list.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Exactly. If you go sign up now, it sends you to the link to download the ebook. So, yeah. Get fucking on it.
Yeah, get fucking on that. You need this ebook.
Yeah.
I need this ebook. Yeah. All God's children need this ebook. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. And, so Mike, when are we going to see your first YouTube video?
Oh, right after you suck my balls.
Do you still have it?
My YouTube channel?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've got the YouTube channel. Yeah, I've got the Couch Potato Mike YouTube channel. Check it out. There's nothing on it.
We're going to get you to put something up on there.
Yeah, sure. Put a link on my website.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that has, like, one thing on it?
It does, yeah.
My life's a fucking series of, like, hollow attempts.
Yeah, I
They
I
don't
won't,
call me the couch potato for nothing.
I won't even mention it, because I don't want any jackasses to domain snipe me or anything. But I have an idea for an application, phone application, that I may actually develop. And just sort of, like, spitballing the idea with Mike and with Serenity, they're both like, yeah, that's a good idea. What the fuck is that?
What just happened? What just fucking happened? Something happened.
The internet's down for a second. It does that.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not going to
okay, good.
Impact all right, our still, recording or anything.
We're still recording. Oh,
yeah,
God.
When the internet goes down, a web page pops up, and then my phone will have a messenger icon that pops up and is like, hey, your internet's down. This is why, blah, blah, blah. Just resetting. It'll come back up.
Will that affect the websites we've already pulled up there?
I don't think so.
Yay us.
They should already be preloaded. This one's like two paragraphs long.
Sweet Jesus.
This one should be fine. If not, by the time we get to it.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Looks like it's fine.
Yarp.
Yarp, yarp, yarp.
Back. So, what do we have coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's show, we're going to be talking about how Netflix password sharing is now a federal fucking offense. We're going to be showing you 17 food hacks for the lazy and the hungry. And we are going to be, for the first time ever, combining three segments into one and talking about boats. Then we're going to be discussing our Nutrition Punk segment, which is all about James's fasting. And Mike's going to be ranting about something that's really fucked up. So why don't we just jump right into it?
And I don't even know what the fucked up rant is, so...
Oh, you're going to love it.
Oh, so yeah, news story. We haven't done a news story in a while.
I know. We've been guesting.
We've been guesting, and I'm working on getting more guest posts. I reached out to a couple people in the community.
There's a couple of people that you talked about said you want that they said they'd okay to do the show.
Yes.
And I want them on there.
Rob Wolf is going to come on first of the year, and then...
What about that dude from Hacking the System? Brian something.
Trying to schedule with him is like...
Nightmarish?
Nightmarish, yeah.
And then there's Mike Hawk.
Yeah, legal issues. He's off the table for a while.
Off the table?
Yeah, he's tied up with stuff.
Yeah. God damn it. Yeah. We'll get him on there eventually.
Yeah.
I'm about to start bringing on what I used to do, the celebrity invites right at the end of the show.
Yeah.
God.
I need to schedule a bank, a time to, just reach out to a bunch of people, because... I meant to reach out to Dave Canterbury the other day.
Aww.
But when I have these ideas, I'm at work, and I can't just, stop stocking the shelves and be like, hey, Dave Canterbury, I would like to invite you onto the Small Punk Podcast. Yeah, I can't.
Is this his off-season?
He lives at his place, so I don't... He lives where he...
I live at my place.
No, I mean, his survival school. He lives there.
I damn near wore my Punisher shirt. That would have been amazing.
That would have been... I almost wore my poo emoji shirt, but I couldn't find it.
I saw the poo emoji shirt at Walmart last night.
Yeah. Did you see the Punisher jersey?
No, I didn't.
It was like on sale.
I didn't make it over to that area. Anyway, they're buying food.
Netflix. Sharing your Netflix password is now a federal crime. Court rules. This comes from NewsChannel5.com. What if it's our News Channel 5 or just the...
I don't know. Well,
wait a second. It would have to be, wouldn't it? Because it changes everywhere.
Yeah.
Is this from Tennessee? I was listening to Free Beer and Hot Wings the other morning, and they had a news story from Murfreesboro about a hibachi restaurant there called Wasabi, where...
Yeah, that's our News Channel 5, see?
Yeah, it is a local story. Yeah, so the guy, the hibachi guy at Wasabi Hibachi in Murfreesboro, Tennessee...
Wasabi!
...had a puppet doll thing... That had a wiener, like a fake schlong.
What?
And the fake schlong, watered this woman customer. And her husband was like, my wife was sexually assaulted by that puppet. And, they called the cops and, all sorts of shit in the news. And I'm like...
Because a puppet peed on them.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I saw a great fucking meme on Facebook the other day. Basically, it said... What happened to you right after the last time you were really offended? Nothing. Move on. Get over it, you pansy.
Yeah.
Something to that effect.
Laugh at it and move on. Come on now. Puppet peed on you and you're assaulted? Come on now. Okay. So yeah, anyway.
Anything to get money and attention.
This comes from our local.
Like a fucking Kardashian.
Sharing your Netflix password, or any password for that matter, is now considered a federal crime after three judges in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit issued a ruling last week. According to Fusion, the case doesn't directly involve Netflix, but does criminalize all password sharing. United States versus Nozel involves David Nozel, a headhunter who worked for the company before leaving in 2004, according to Fusion. All right, listen, you finish this two paragraphs.
When he left, Nozel recruited former colleagues who used the password of a person still with the company to download information from Korn/Ferry's database for use at the new firm, Fusion reports. Judge Stephen Reinhart, who was the dissenting judge in a 2-1 decision, said the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act and sharing passwords does not make the millions of people who engage in this ubiquitous, useful, and generally harmless conduct into unwitting federal criminals, according to Fusion.
Oh, see, but this is precedence! It's that's not going to be used for that, blah, blah, blah. But you just set precedence, you dickwad! I mean, how many people have shared their password? Like,
oh God,
I used to have my entire family watching my Netflix account. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Huh?
That's fucking insane. Okay, there's a world of fucking difference between letting a friend or family member use your Netflix account and corporate fucking espionage and theft, which
Hillary
that
Clinton.
Was about. That's exactly what that was about. Using, like, another company's password to get information from that company to use at your new company? Yeah, I could see how that would be a crime. But goddamn, don't make it a thing for every time some motherfucker uses somebody else's fucking password with their own fucking permission. Goddamn. Yeah, fucking people are idiots. Judges are idiots. Everybody's too goddamn sensitive.
Yeah, I don't even see that needs to be a crime. Like, you know, I go back to my libertarian anarchy thing here, like, was anyone actually harmed? Like, would not the free market solve this? Like, until,
what,
like...
did you die?
Yeah, until this corporate espionage results in, like, people murdering people, oh, you got a crime there. Or stealing stuff. Like, your security probably needs to be better, guys.
Personally, corporate espionage, shit like that, that doesn't need to involve jail time in my book as much as it needs to involve gigantic fucking fines. I mean, yeah, I stole some information. I didn't hurt anybody. It helped my company and didn't even hurt their company or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you just got a $500 million fine.
Yeah.
But goddamn, because of assholes doing white-collar criminal bullshit, they can now fucking slap you with a felony charge if you let your mom watch your Netflix.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm thinking of all the also, like, legitimate uses for password sharing. Like, there are a lot of people in the, like, the business world, like, say, other bloggers or marketers and stuff, that will let people that are professional, like,
oh God,
social media managers, like, run their, like, accounts. Like,
I'm a skit now.
Why?
Oh, I'm pretty sure the feds are going to show up at my house like, you've been sharing your password. We've noticed several other devices using your password. I'm like, yeah, I own them all, you bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, my Apple TV uses my Netflix. And so does my Wii. And so does the other Nintendo Wii. And my wife's iPhone. And my iPod. And the one laptop and two computers that we have. Oh, did I mention the three tablets?
Yeah. Jackasses.
Fuck faces.
They
can all eat a bowl of dicks, and I'll share the password to watch that fucking video any day of the goddamn week.
Yeah.
Cocksuckers.
Yeah. Couch Potato Mike's going to publish it on his blog. Couch Potato Mike's Netflix password on his blog.
No, I'm not.
All of you guys can have it.
The only reason I don't share my Netflix password is because right now it's been so much time buffering as it is.
Yeah.
Buffering.
Yeah, I know. I talked to you about splitting your Netflix account. Like, oh, it's like $8 a month. I'll give you $4 because I won't ever use it. And I've signed up for Netflix, and I've not used it in 2 weeks or more.
Oh, you goofy bat. Well,
and you're like, no, no, James, it's cheap enough. Like, you get your own Netflix.
It is cheap enough. Who misses $8 a month?
But who would rather miss $4 a month?
Well, it's actually now. It's like I think they bumped it up a dollar. I think it's like
$8.99 or something. Like,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I remember back in the day when I signed up for Netflix streaming, you kids, like, it was only $7.
Whatever it is. Anyway. It's cheap enough where I don't even notice it.
Yeah.
I haven't had to actively pay a Netflix bill in 3 years.
I mean, I pay more for other, like, website. Like, I pay more for web hosting and email delivering and shit.
I guess, but, like, Netflix needs to get more stuff on it.
It does.
They need to get back Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that the other day.
All right. But moving on into our next news article.
It will not make us angry.
No.
But this will possibly make me hungry.
Oh, God. Oh, shit. I did pick to do this right in the middle of your fast. I am so sorry, bro.
Yeah.
This comes from Cracked.com, one of my favorite websites. It's 17 brilliant food hacks for the lazy and the hungry. And just 17 little tips of interesting things that you can do here. If you're anything like us, you've watched the world burn. Not on purpose, mind you, but because you've become an expert in destroying city blocks while trying to bake a pan of brownies. Well, no more. Read the tips below and learn to cook with a competent member of humanity. Number 17. Cut your cupcake in half. That doesn't mean split it right down the middle. Cut the bottom half off the cupcake to make a sandwich. This will give you equal amounts of cake and icing in each bite. Yeah, you take the bottom half of the cake, cut that off, and then put it on the top on the icing, basically turning it into a big fluffy Oreo.
Yeah, I don't actually, so you guys know that I eat paleo, but you know, I do cheat days. And I was like, that's how I eat my cupcakes anyway. I don't cut them. I usually just like rip the bottom part off and then turn it around and put it on top and just make like an ice cream sandwich out of cupcake.
Mm-hmm. It's still pretty brilliant. You want to do number 16?
I do. Number 16. Want a tasty caramel sauce? You can set over a hot stove whisking butter, sugar, cream, and more, but don't let it burn. Or simply place unopened cans of sweetened condensed milk into a pot of boiling water enough to cover the cans for 3 hours. Result, a delicious caramel sauce with almost no effort.
Yeah, that I have to try.
Wow, it's... Well, yeah, it's. I mean, that's all the ingredients for caramel in there.
Yeah, it really is. The sweetened condensed milk. It's basically pre-made caramel ingredients mixed together. You put it in a pot. You take the whole fucking can unopened, yeah. Put it in a fucking pot with enough water to cover it, and boil it for 3 fucking hours, and boom, caramels. You open up a can of caramel sauce.
There you go. That's fucking nuts.
Number 15. I like this one. Microwave garlic for 20 seconds before peeling them. Then the cloves will just slip free effortlessly.
Interesting. Number 14. Always cut beef and other meats across the grain to make it easier to chew.
Yeah, that's a tip I've actually seen from Alton Brown.
Yeah, I find it sometimes hard to, like... you gotta, like...
Make them less chewy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Figuring out which way the grain runs.
Yeah.
I know, it's not, yeah.
It's not like wood or something.
No, exactly. Number 13. Do you want, you went past it.
It's.
Come on now. There you go. God damn
Whatever,
it.
Whatever.
Do you want to make homemade French fries, but you don't want to use so much oil? 1. Remove the excess starch by soaking the potatoes in iced water for 10 minutes. 2. Dry them well with a clean cloth or paper towel. 3. Put them on an oven tray with parchment paper. Season the potatoes with salt and a little bit of olive oil. 4. Bake them in the oven at 400 degrees for 30 minutes or until they are crispy.
Hold on.
That really cuts down on the amount of like canola oil or vegetable oil. It's using olive oil.
Yeah, I mean, because normally to get good, I don't know how these results are, but to get really good
it's driving me crazy.
French fries, you have to like twice fry them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get that, like, soft...
Yeah, because you fry them once, and you're going to end up with soft French fries.
Yeah. I watched this... it was on the YouTube channel for Tested, which is Adam Savage's YouTube channel. And they went to this food laboratory, like, crazy food laboratory, where they sous vide, which is where you, like, Ziploc stuff, and then you put it in a water bath immersion thing to heat it slowly over time. They sous vide these potatoes in like a saline solution. So like they put like basically salt water in with these things, vacuum sealed it, cooked them on like some temperature for hours to make them super soft and tender. Then put them in this machine that's like releases hypersonic bubbles, and it's supposed to be like for cleaning jewelry and stuff, but it causes like micro abrasions like in the French fry.
Okay.
Which makes them look like they were battered.
Huh.
Because it separates like the microdermis. And then they deep fried them like twice and it was like...
Oh, yeah. They
look like they were battered French fries.
Well, yeah, by doing that, by causing those little micro abrasions, it's basically making a lot more surface space where the heat and the oil can get in there even better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how you could do this at home, but I'm like, wow, I want to try
those. That would require some equipment.
Yeah. Number 12. Lay a wooden spoon across the middle of a boiling pot to prevent it from boiling over.
I've actually done that. It works.
There you go.
Number 11, coming up. Oh, I got a kick out of this one. You usually need butter, egg, oil, and cake mix to make a cake. Swap out the butter, egg, and oil with the soda of your choice instead. Not only does your soda give your cake a fruity undertone, it cuts fat in your cake as well. Which I don't need to see why you need to cut the fat. But
fuck you! I don't like that one.
And it actually looks like the cake is kind of flattish.
Yeah, the cake looks disgusting.
It really does.
You're putting high fructose corn, like, you're like, take away the butter, egg, and oil. I'm like, you mean the good stuff in there?
That's
remove the batter and give me the butter, egg, and oil.
You know what I said? I got a kick out of this one because I knew you'd lose you'd have a shit hemorrhage.
Yeah.
Oh my god. That is
replace these healthy ingredients with toxic waste. Number 10. Interesting. Making mashed potatoes and tired of having to peel a lot of them? You can skip the whole peeling process and just boil them until they're cooked. After cooling, you can just pull them off with your bare hands. Or, as I suggest from Alton Brown, use a tea towel and you just like rub the skin off. It just comes right off.
Yeah, I mean, either way, but no, after you boil the whole potato until it's well cooked and then cool it off, the skin, just look at that.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're not saying it in this picture, but after boiling them, you need to put them in an ice bath.
Yeah.
You need to, like, stop the cooking process and then peel them.
Right, that loosens the, apparently that loosens the peel up enough where you can just
pull it off. Yeah.
All right, number 9. Instead of doing it manually or with a fork, use a hand mixer to shred chicken shred chicken instead. It gets the work done faster and easier.
Holy fuck!
Yeah. Oh my god.
No, I'm trying, like, so, Michael's like, you're gonna hate this list. Well, I like that one. Like, I'm thinking of, like, pulled pork and, like, shredded chicken right now, and I'm like,
yeah,
throw a mixer in there.
Yeah, you take your cooked meat, and then just get the fucking hand mixer in it, and it'll just shred the hell out of it. A lot easier. I mean, look at that.
It doesn't look like you threw it in the food processor. It looks like you shredded it with a fork.
And you know what a hand mixer is? It's one of the things that has the two spinny prongs that come off of it look like Dalek guns.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll let you read this one because you just did it.
Oh, yeah, I did do this last night. Making your grilled cheese with butter, there is a better way. Next time, spread the bread with mayonnaise. I did this last night, or blend of mayo and butter, for a tasty, rich grilled cheese that crisps without burning. Now, I will tell you, I mean, you leave anything on long enough, it will eventually burn.
Yeah.
But this burns a lot less reticent. I mean, it's harder to burn this. I mean, I did this. I didn't do the mix with butter. I just used straight mayo. And, damn. First off, when you're using butter, and I'm not talking about fucking margarine, I'm not talking about whipped shit, I'm not talking about your country crocks and your I can't believe it's not, that's, you know, already easily smooth. I'm talking about a stick of goddamn butter. Unless you, like, completely pre-melt that shit in the microwave or something like that, it's not going to spread easily. Okay? It's just not. I always recommend, if you're going to use butter, leave it out for, like, an hour ahead of time. It softens it up.
I'll let you finish, and then I'll give you guys a quick pro tip.
You do that. But a lot of times, it'll either cause you to mangle your bread or smash it flat. Using the mayonnaise, the sandwich itself didn't taste as dense. It was lighter. The bread kept its shape. It gave it a nice tangy taste. Because it was easy to spread it on so evenly, it gave this beautiful golden brown to the outside of the sandwich. And you could really taste everything in it. Like, a lot of times you have to put so much butter or something like that on it that all you're tasting is the butter and you're not really tasting the cheese. You got to taste the cheese a lot better this way. Everybody in the house loved my son, Logan, who is the pickiest little fucker on the planet. I love him to death, but it's true. I'm surprised he ever eats anything because he doesn't like anything.
Yeah.
He will occasionally eat a grilled cheese sandwich despite the fact that he hates bread. And last night he ate the whole damn thing. And I know if I had told him that I used mayonnaise instead of butter, he wouldn't have eaten it. Because he would have been like, ew,
I hate mayo.
That's not the norm.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but he loved it. Everybody loved it. My daughter fell in love with it. Of course, my daughter's a foodie. She is growing up to be some kind of a major foodie.
Yeah.
That girl loves her some food. She doesn't love all food. She'll try anything, God bless her, but
yeah,
she's got a discerning palate.
So, if you have salted butter, you can just leave that on your counter. Like, they make those like cover things, like, to leave your butter on your counter. Like, salted butter will last for about 7 days, which is usually
not refrigerated.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, sweet. Yeah. So you can leave that out. You know, if you get like the pack of butter that comes in like, you know, of some 1 pound, so it has like 4 quarter-pound sticks in it,
uh-huh.
just put one of those quarter-pound sticks in the covered butter tray on your counter, and then you have perfectly soft butter anytime you need it. Don't do that with your unsalted Kerrygold's grass-fed butter, though. It will spoil.
Oh, my goodness.
Number 7.
Yeah, you do the next two, because I did 2 in a row. I'm not happy with this one.
No, I was going to say, I might try this on cheat day to see how... Because I've seen this before. I don't know, I might try it. And see if... I don't know. I'll eat just about anything that's crazy. Number... What 7. Is this? 7. Instant ramen grilled cheese sandwich. Step 1. Whisk an egg. Step... I was like, step 3. You skipped...
I know, I put it down there.
No. Step 2. Add cooked ramen and mix. Step 3. Place in the foil and refrigerate. Place in foil and refrigerate. Step 4. Grill.
Yeah, it's basically you're making the bread out of cooked ramen mixed with egg. You use the egg as a binder.
Yeah. But you have to refrigerate it first.
Yeah, you refrigerate it, and then you can just grill it like a grilled cheese.
Interesting. I actually, you know what, next week, because I'm not eating this week.
I know, you're skipping a cheat day because it's in the middle of your fast.
Yeah, but I think I actually want to try that, there was a cauliflower grilled cheese recipe where you make the bread out of cauliflower.
Cauliflower!
Yeah,
cauliflower!
There's a cauliflower pizza recipe that I want, too. Out. Yeah.
Cauliflower pizza recipe?
There's cauliflower for everything. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You make the dough out of it.
Cauliflower is trying to be as versatile as the potato.
It is.
It's just got a bad rap because it looks like an albino's brain.
Yeah. I mean, I actually like mashed cauliflower.
Huh. Fascinating. Do this one, too.
Oh.
Yeah, I did 2. Now you do 2.
Number 6. To keep a cake fresh until the last piece, cut the slices from the middle. Then press the cake back together and keeping the insides unexposed to fresh air.
Yeah, it's basically shown in their take. Instead of cutting triangular pieces, the kind of rectangular pieces, and then they just shove the right out the middle, all the way across, and then they just shove the edges together.
That's interesting.
That cake's got to be done with fondant.
Yes, I was going to say.
Buttercream, you'd end up with icing all over both hands.
Yeah, buttercream, like any kind of like homemade cake, yeah, you're fucked, dude. Like,
yeah, that is definitely a fondant cake. You can tell by looking at it.
Yeah, and fondant tastes like shit anyway.
It really does.
How do you eat fondant? Throw it away.
Okay. Number 5. Here's how you peel a mango like a smartass. Cut mango into 2. That means in half. Place the peel of one half of the mango against the edge of a glass and push the flesh of the mango down into the cup. No more wasted mango flesh.
Yeah. This is one of the things where you should, like, watch a video or something, but, like, because the mango skin is so thick and, like, rubbery, like, you kind of just line it up on the edge of the cup and then you just slide it down.
I wonder if that would work with avocado.
Probably. I just always use a big tablespoon and just cup around it.
Yeah.
Because
Colorado has the big pit in the middle.
You know, I actually looked recently into mango. So, like, if I eat mango, I taste pepper. Like, it tastes like pepper to me. And that was either a genetic trait that I share with some other people, much like cilantro tastes like soap to some people, or it's just the ripeness of that particular mango. Me and some other people taste like a lot of spice and pepper.
Hmm.
I don't know. Instead of like sweetness.
It's different mangoes. I mean, there's a shitload of different types of mangoes in the world.
Yeah.
But they have mangoes in the Philippines that my dad flat out adores.
Yeah.
He says he eats them every day. And he never liked mango before, but these mangoes are different. Number 4. Take it, James.
Having issues starting the grill? No, I don't anymore. Maybe wait a bit before breaking out the big guns.
You didn't.
Instead, soak a few paper towels in cooking oil, cover them in charcoal, and light those, then let them burn. Not only will it start fast, but your meat won't taste like lighter fluid or a car engine. Get a charcoal starter. They're like between $9 to $15. And then so Alton Brown was like, you just spritz them down, like the paper towels or the newspaper with like vegetable oil or something. You don't even need that. Just like crinkle them up until the bottom part of your chimney starter is filled. You can't fit any more paper down there. Light it. Walk off. Come back in 30 minutes. Your charcoal's ready to go.
Also, you can use Doritos.
Yeah.
Or any kind of corn chip to help start, without even using the fucking charcoal lighter fluid.
Yeah. Shout out to listener Matt French, who has a YouTube channel. Matt French or something. Maybe I'll throw a link in the show notes. Or try to, anyway. He did a video recently that was, Fritos. Fritos released a new flavor of Cool Ranch Fritos that tastes like the Cool Ranch Dorito, but it's a Frito. Dorito Frito.
Cool Ranch Fritos?
I'm like, going to be adding those to cheat day. Because I like Cool Ranch Fritos.
I
kind of
want to try that.
Exactly.
Because I've always liked Fritos more than I like Doritos. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like nacho cheese Doritos occasionally, but I'm a Fritos guy. Just am.
I wonder what a Cool Ranch Frito pie would taste like.
Oh.
Woo-hoo! Cheat day extravaganza next week when I have a cheat day.
Oh, God. You're going to have two cheat days in one day. Number three.
That's you.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
Coffee maker ramen.
You're going to do this shit.
Starving college students likely know the trick of making it in their own coffee maker's carafe. But if you've got a single cup coffee maker, it's the easiest thing to pop your cup of noodles under it for 30-second ramen. Because it's already spewing the hot water straight into there.
Yeah. And there you go. Just...
Number two.
I mean, do you have a coffee maker? Did you buy a replacement since the cat broke your last coffee maker?
I have no fucking clue. Oh. I know I haven't.
Oh. Well, that's not a normal one, though, is it? That is a normal... No, is it a Keurig one? No, it's a normal one.
No, that's not a Keurig.
That's normal.
That's just a normal... Yeah, because they make those little single-cup coffee makers.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, you should get one of those for, like, cheap, and then, like... When your kids are like, I want ramen, they microwave
that,
them.
But that's even quicker, the coffee maker version is.
Well, it's less work. Like, you just kind of put your cup under there. Well, you get the ones, but you just put them in a bowl or something and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second. What was it? Hold on. Serenity told me something recently about boiling an egg. I will finish it. I will tell it what it... Okay. How to quickly peel a hard-boiled egg. Drop the egg in a jar of cold water, shake vigorously for a few seconds, and the shell falls right off. I mean, pretty much the key to hard-boiled eggs is cold water or an ice bath. Like, you need to get them out of that water into the cold water. You need to stop the cooking process, cool them off, and then I've seen people, like, puncture a little hole and then just blow air and, like, it separates the shell and they pop out.
I've tried that.
It's hit or miss.
It's hit or miss. You can wind up giving yourself a damn embolism doing that shit.
Serenity, she did something recently where she put the eggs in there, not on heat. Turn the heat on. When it comes to boiling, you cover it, take it off the heat, and let it sit for, I can't tell you the amount of time, 10 minutes, 15 minutes or something. She's like, they come out perfect, and they peel easier.
Huh.
I was like,
how many eggs, though? Because that dynamic changes with the amount of eggs you got in there. Like, I'm never a guy that boils, like, one or two eggs. I will boil 12 to 18 eggs at a time. I mean, I have boiled two dozen eggs simultaneously before.
I would assume
that
the time it takes to heat up the water to boiling, with the eggs buffering the temperature, would still make the equation work. However, though, if you're going to do, like, 18 eggs at a time, I suggest you just throw them in your oven. You just put them in the racks. You don't need anything because they're eggs. They have a shell. You put them in the rack and, like, I think it's 350 for, like, 40 minutes. Yeah, it's longer. You're not doing anything, though. And then you just turn the oven off and then come get them back whenever you feel like it.
Hmm.
I've done that before, and the eggs came out perfectly hard-boiled.
Huh. I'll have to try that as well.
Just because you, like, I mean, obviously, in your oven, like, on the racks, how many dozens of eggs could you fit at one time? 100?
Yeah, you got a point there. And number one on the list, clothespin chopsticks. Step one, have chopsticks and don't know how to use them. Step two, take a clothespin, break it and remove the spring coil. Step three, insert the coil between the chopsticks. Step four, bon appetit.
There you go.
That actually would be a cool trick for, like, kids.
Yeah.
That have trouble maneuvering those. Mm. It's a cute little thing right there.
It is.
Okie dokie. So that takes us out of the news and into our main topic / listener question / survival thingy.
Yeah, so a listener...
First time a segment's ever gone a three-way.
Yeah, listener wrote in asking about bug-out Altoid tins kits.
Oh, who's the listener? Because we said we'd give their names.
I don't remember. Sorry.
You know who you are, motherfucker.
Travis, I think? If you're Travis and you wrote in that question, then comment on the show notes.
Somewhere there's some poor bastard going, my name is Philip. They don't love me.
No, I'm pretty sure his name was Travis.
We don't love you, Philip.
Yeah, no, fuck you, Philip. But Travis is awesome. Anyway.
I feel really bad right now if that poor bastard's name actually was Philip.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
Okay, good.
So he was like, how do you feel about the bug out Altoid tins, you know, for survival? Like, do you think they're good for a survival emergency or what? So we'll sort of break this up into a few categories here where stop it. So are they good for a survival? Some of them can be. The ones you build can be. Some of the ones you buy.
Yeah.
Or shit, some of the ones you buy. They actually good.
Sell pre-made ones?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
There are some that, like, there's one that comes with the Star Flash, which is the best, like, signal mirror on the market.
Mm-hmm.
The one-handed Fire Striker, I can't remember the name of it. It's basically, like, it has a handle on it, and it has a fire... the ferro rod sticking out of it, and you just push it down, and it sends your sparks out.
Hmm.
So you can do that, you know, injured. You know, and some of these, like that, it has like that in there, like the pocket chainsaw. Like, some of these are really good, especially the slightly larger ones. Not the tiniest ones, but the slightly larger ones. You kind of go pay for it. So that's, you know, like, you can build it, you can spend more money for it. How's it work for an emergency? You know, it depends.
Yeah, it depends on the emergency. Like, I personally have one that I built.
Yeah.
I built this one. And mine... Okay. The contents of the one that I carry a lot, it's not on me right now.
Is that a standard size Altoids tin, or is it the slightly larger size?
It's slightly larger. Mm-hmm. I went to Dollar Tree, and I bought my kids these puzzles. They're like jigsaw puzzles in a tin can. Slightly larger than an Altoid can, but I hijacked one of the cans.
Yeah.
And basically, I built when I say bigger, I mean minusculely bigger. I mean...
Yeah.
So, inside mine, I keep the following things. I keep, what do you call those things? It's like a magnifying glass, except it's made of flimsy plastic. Mine's in the shape of a credit card. You can use it to start fires with.
Like a lensatic lens.
Yeah, thank you. I have a small lensatic lens in there. And its own little sheath. Interestingly enough, I keep Band-Aids. I keep a little packet of triple antibiotic ointment. I have a small amount of fishing line, some fishing sinkers, some fishing hooks, needles, thread, strike anywhere wind-resistant matches, something to strike them on, just in case.
Yeah.
Let me see. God, I'm trying to think of what else is in there. Oh, yeah. And actually, this is no longer in there because it proved to be just too shitty. I had gotten a very small, generic Swiss Army knife from the Dollar Tree.
Yeah, no.
Those things are fucking flimsy as hell. But I have another one, but any kind of a small, non-generic thing like that can fit in the can. You can fit a knife in there. Plus, I also have a credit card knife that could very easily fit in the can, but I keep it in my wallet.
Yeah.
Thanks to one of our listeners. God, I can't remember his name.
Matt French?
Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, he sent it to us. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate that, buddy. Yeah, that's that one's on me right now. It's an EDC for me.
Yeah. So when I build these boats, these bug-out Altoid tin kits...
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. I have part of a gift card wrapped in duct tape.
Oh, yeah. Excellent, yeah. I like to...
And some cotton tinder.
There you go. Yeah. I like to build these, like all of my kits, based on the 10 C's of survivability. So you got to have your cordage, your container, which you have a metal container. So
you
basically have one there.
Yeah, you can boil a small amount of water in the container if you need to.
Yeah. So all of the 10 C's, we should probably do an episode on that. So, you know, like I'll put in a blade, so a small quality knife. Sometimes you can get those safety razor blades in cardboard, and then like you put a little tape on them so they'll come out of the cardboard. Like you have an emergency blade that's not really sterile, but basically sterile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some tiny blades like that.
I've got a scalpel.
Yeah,
it doesn't fit in the tin though.
Oh yeah, I was
it's in my bug out bag.
I've got suture kit somewhere, but not a bug out altar.
I've actually used it though, so it's not sterile. But there's ways to sterilize stuff.
Yeah, I've got. So usually in all my bug out altar kits, I'll put in a. Is it 55 gallon? One of the big drum liners, which is a giant trash bag.
Yeah.
They'll fold up small enough to put in there. If not,
oh yeah.
If you can't get one of those in there, definitely a 55 gallon like. Constructor bag,
mm-hmm.
Construction bag. They fit in there. I like those. If I found recently some like 55 gallon clear bags, which I thought about picking up because they like not only could you use those for shelter. So like, I mean, basically you can use these gallon bags like as an emergency bivy sack when you're outside.
Oh yeah.
I still got
one in my bucket bag.
Yeah, I have them in all my kits. I have them everywhere.
Well, you made my first bug out bag, and yeah. It's still in there.
Yeah. But after, I thought about switching to the clear ones because they're better for transpiration. So that's like if you take a clear plastic bag and put it over vegetation and seal it off, it collects water.
It does.
We tried this.
Yeah, and it worked brilliantly.
Yeah. And the plant was fine. Like even after like being on there for what 2 weeks or something, the plant was fine. Yeah, it was 2 weeks
before I took it off.
Yeah. So, if you can get,
collected a fair amount of water.
Yeah, and that was just from one. Like if you carried a bunch of these bags,
and you find a good sized tree like that one out there. Jesus Christ! I mean, you can just fucking put them all over the damn place.
Yeah, and that's all your fuck the water steal. So yeah,
I mean, I saw fucking Les Stroud do that in the Gobi Desert. On a fucking, tree.
And that's much easier than digging one of those solar steels.
I loved it because when he was drinking it out of the bag, he's like, good clean water, and an ant or two.
Yeah, protein. I want to spit that out. Yeah, so.
I think he might have said, but that's just protein.
Yeah, yeah. You know what Mike carries waterproof matches, Strike Anywhere? I just throw a mini Bic in there. It's small, and it guaranteed to work.
Well, I usually have a lighter in my pocket anyway.
Yeah. mini Bic. Usually I'll put some sort of like a Vaseline soaked tinder in like a mini. You can go to the craft stores and get like those tiny Ziploc bags like you put drugs in.
Dude. At the Dollar Tree. Hi, Serenity. At the Dollar Tree. In, like, the cosmetics section, they're now selling the tiniest little containers of fucking petroleum jelly I've ever seen in my fucking life. They're useless, like, fucking lip balm. They're, like, this fucking big, and one of those could easily fit in an Altoids can.
Brief interlude from the show. Matt told me about this thing I think we're going to do next week, week after or so. It's a $10 Dollar Tree Survival Challenge. You get $10, you go in the Dollar Tree, the stuff you get, you have to spend a night out in the woods with.
Wow.
And I'm like, I think we're going to do this.
Now, would we each get $10 or would we
share? No, we'd each get $10.
Yeah.
So, bug out toy kins. Trying to wrap this up. I build them like, I have a blade in there. I've got my trash liner. I've got the mini Bic. Possibly some tinder in there. And then you can signal with the can itself. I usually don't do whistles. I'll throw in some cordage. Everyone loves paracord, but I usually tend to throw in like 25, 50 feet of bank line that you can get from your fishing store. I actually kind of like it better in a lot of purposes than paracord. It's smaller and you can get more in there.
Yeah.
And then I You know, at that point, like, you're usually kind of running out of room. You might be able to feel a little bit, like, you can throw a condom in there for water collection.
Yeah, you can do that. That'll easily fit.
Yeah. Sometimes you can fit a bandana in there, which won't be bad, or wrap it on the outside. Duct tape card. Mike was right. Duct tape card, which is where you wrap the duct tape around a useless card you don't need.
Yeah, that's the awesome thing about duct tape. It's like the one tape that you can unwrap from the roll and then rewrap, and it doesn't lose its adhesiveness.
Yeah.
As long as you're sticking it back to itself.
Right. I think that's about it for the inside.
Don't be fooled by fucking, like, there's, like, I mean, there's generic duct-like tapes out there that suck.
Except for Gorilla Glue tape. The Gorilla tape is even better, but you're paying even more money for it.
Right.
To the outside of my kits.
And don't go flashy with it. Just get the fucking gray shit. It sticks better. I mean, a lot of these, like, designer duct tapes and the colors, well, a lot of times they just won't hold their adhesive.
I was going to say, my difference from Mike on that is I like to get the duct tape brand tape. So not like an off brand in a funky color, but the duct tape brand in bright orange. Which you can use for, like, signaling and you know, like, marking stuff.
That's some good shit right there.
Yeah, I bought a roll and I put it on stuff, and it's good to find stuff.
And the actual duct tape brand will have a picture of a duck on the inside of it.
Yeah. And then one of the last things is if you – and you can find these anywhere. They're like trash. If you find a bicycle inner tube, the rubber inner tube, you cut strips from it.
Okay.
So, like, you know – quarter inch or so, like a little strip from it, you know, lengthwise, so they're like a band. They're like a rubber band almost, basically.
Uh-huh.
You can slip that along the outside of it. I think people call them Ranger bands. You have a really strong rubber band. One, it'll keep the damn thing closed. It's not going to come open with that on it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things you can do with that Ranger band, that inner tube that you have there.
Oh, God, yeah.
So that's usually about all I keep in there. You can throw in like iodine tabs or purification tabs. Mm-hmm. I usually don't. You try out different things. Like, you see what works, see what doesn't work. You swap things out. I'm sure I have sometime. If there's room, I mean, there's no reason not to just throw some in there.
Yeah.
Why not?
No, that's the awesome thing about a boat.
Yeah.
Bug out Altoids 10.
Yeah. And to sort of wrap it up, like, how useful are they in a survival situation? They're not, like, the knife in there is not going to be the best. If you even have a knife in there. And I think you should have a bladed instrument of some sort. So, the stuff that you have is going to be tiny. It's going to be a super emergency. But it's small enough, and that's the point, that you should have it on yourself. If you lose your pack, your bug-out Altoids kit should not be in your pack. It should be in your fucking pocket.
No, yeah. It's a pocket tin, yeah. You put it in your pocket. That's the whole point of putting it in a small enough tin. You'd be a dumbass to put a fucking kit inside a bigger kit.
Yeah. So
don't put your eggs in one basket.
It's not the best. It's not the best solution. But if you properly build your kit with the fundamentals of survival in place, it can help you out. I mean, it's not going to be the best, but there's a purpose for it. I mean, there's a place to have these kits with you because they are so small that you should have it with you always, and you'll have it when you don't have other stuff. I mean, I feel that you should have other stuff, but you can't go wrong with extras. I mean, so should you have it? Why not? I think you should probably build it yourself, though. Some of these kits online are A, filled with junk, or B, overpriced. It's just the way they are.
Yeah.
Like I said, the one that has, like, the star flash mirror and the blast match and stuff, those are good quality. You're kind of going to spend too much money, though. So, final thoughts there. Let's get to the Nutrition Punk.
Nutrition Punk. The Fast.
So we're going to do something special for this that we've not done before. We're going to have to snuggle.
Oh, my God.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to record. I'm going to use my head to block that.
Yeah,
so.
You're going to have to. Don't move. Don't fucking blink. Don't even blink. Blink and you're dead.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, what did you do?
So what we're doing, you guys, is we're going to record this, put on YouTube.
Yes, this segment's actually going to go on YouTube.
Whatever. No, get the camera right. Okay, whatever. Hey, this is James from StrawPunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Mike.
And this is a mini segment, so you guys listening to the podcast right now, you're like, oh, hey, that we just heard this, yes. So we're recording, we record a podcast weekly on Wednesdays at StrawPunk.com.
We're doing it right now.
Yeah, so, but we're going to split out the Nutrition Punk segment of the StrawPunk podcast to put on YouTube as an update for my 3-day fast experiment that I'm doing.
Why does it always seem like fasts go so slow? Isn't it ironic?
They're not. What am I at right now? So it's 11. It's 11 Central Standard Time.
11.
So that's 11 hours after midnight.
That's usually how it falls.
So that would be 24 plus 10, 34 hours? 35 hours.
Yeah, 35 hours.
35 hours. 35 hours, no food.
35 hours with no food? What, you ate at like 11:59?
Nah, well, I mean, roughly. I ate at midnight.
Well, we know you're not going to turn into a gremlin.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I hated those cars anyway.
In my first video, the fasting part one video, I was like, okay, so I work at night, so I just won't say a.m. or p.m. so you guys can, like, make it fit to your concept of reference, you know? Like, I ate at 12. That makes sense. I ate at midnight. What the fuck's wrong with this guy?
His days and nights are backwards. Get
yeah,
the fuck
so
over
I just,
it.
Just dropped the a.m. p.m. off. But yeah, 35 hours, I've only had water, coffee, black, nothing in it.
And you had a black?
I had a black.
You racist bastard.
And yeah, coffee and bouillon cube water.
You mean broth?
Broth. Yeah, it's watered down. Like, the ratio is so watered down that
it's bouillon broth.
It's bouillon water, yeah. It's mostly water.
It's flavored
water.
It's
to get in sodium.
I like bouillon water.
Yeah.
You go with beef or chicken?
This is chicken.
I always go beef.
Yeah, well, I just grab
Go one. Beef or go home.
Yeah. So, 35 hours, I'm not like, my stomach's not tearing itself to pieces. I feel okay. I mean, it's weird. So, the part of the experiment was, you know, like, how long have most of us ever gone without food? Like, in our modern times, we just don't. I mean, a couple hours? Maybe? I mean, Mike, how long have you gone without food? I mean, just, like, spitball. Because I was even, like, in the first video, I was like, even with me and Mike are homeless, I don't think we ever went more than one whole day.
No, we didn't go a day without food.
We never went a whole day without food.
The longest I've ever been without food, 5 days.
5 days.
5 days.
When and why?
High school depression.
Oh.
I was refusing to eat. I had my heart broken.
Depression will do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I was refusing. I was sitting in the middle of a fucking restaurant refusing to eat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but this isn't therapy.
Yeah.
This is survival.
So, yeah, I mean, most people don't go very long without food, ever. Just the way it is. So it's more or less a mental test to see how I can do it, and I'm fine.
You're also not done yet.
I'm not done yet. Yeah, I'm going to be like Alone in the Fright. Like, what was that TV show? Alone in the Wild or something? Like?
Yeah, Alone in the Wild. It was supposed to be another fucking 90 days. He lasted 50. He was crying at a dead elk's head.
Yeah.
It was his friend. He was holding up a fucking fish like this. It's like this big. He's like, this is my dinner. And just stared at the fuck. I wouldn't say heartbreaking, but it was fucking hilarious to watch the poor guy. He wasn't doing it right.
That might be my last
update.
He
moved from a place at the beginning where that was abundant with food to a place that he thought was going to be more abundant with food and ended up damn near starving to death. They had to fucking rescue him. I mean, first, before they came and got him, they had to bring in, like, emergency oatmeal.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's how I'm going to end this video series. I'm going to be like, It's day three. I don't think I'm going to make it.
No. No, your real test is you're going to have to go to work before you eat.
Yeah, so the last day, day three, I'm going to have to go to work and work for 2 hours. 2 hours.
I would recommend packing a very big lunch.
I
mean a big fucking lunch. Put a cow's leg in there.
Yeah. My last meal the other night when I was eating, I actually like, normally I eat like bacon and eggs. Today I also took steak too though. So like it was a whole steak and bacon and eggs. And then like I couldn't finish it all. I was trying like, oh God, I gotta finish it. I need this, my last food. I couldn't. I still had some steak left. And I'm like, well, you have to sit there for like 3 days.
Yeah.
So update on fasting day two. I'm doing fine. I could eat. But I'm not, like, racked with hunger pains. But I'm ready to drink some more water. And with that...
On that bombshell...
Let's,
This has been a Survival Punk official fasting update video thing.
Short but sweet. Use gas.
Use gas!
All right. You guys can watch that on YouTube probably before this... podcast comes out, to be honest.
Funnily enough.
Funnily enough.
Yeah, so go back and retroactively watch it a couple of days early.
Yeah.
Okay. And now it is time...
to say goodbye to all our family.
Nope. For the mic rant.
Oh, the mic rant.
Yes. It is time for the mic rant. And I'm going to put the board down, because I might need both hands for this shit. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen... Why are you walking away?
I'm going to give you your space. I'm going to get some water.
Oh, well, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen out there in Survival Punk Land, I have recently become aware of something. It's probably been around for about a year or so now, this theory, this practice, I guess. Something called the bro job. Now, if you're sitting there going, what the fuck's a bro job? Oh, I'm about to tell you. Apparently, a bro job is when two straight guys, straight, keep this in mind, they're buddies. One of them, like, is incredibly horny with no outlet, and apparently his hands are broken. I don't know. Like, I really need to get off, man. Do you need to get off? Yeah, I need to get off, too. I'll blow you if you blow me. Yeah, what's a shot in the mouth between buddies? That's not gay. That's just mutual oral masturbation. Let me tell you something, you allegedly straight fucks. It's gay. If a man puts a dick in his mouth, it's gay. If you have to ask the question, huh, I wonder if this is gay. It's gay. It's very, very gay. There is not a situation in the world where a man has a dick in his mouth and it not be gay. You can like cutesy it up and call it a bro job, a blow job between buddies, between two straight buddies. You're not straight anymore. If you've moved to the point of sucking each other's cocks, you're a gay couple in denial. You just fucking are. Jesus Christ. Come out of the closet. I don't mind if you suck dicks, but don't pretend to be straight about it, you dumb fucks. I'm Mike, and this rant is over.
Yeah, fucking bro jobs. What a millennial stupid idea.
That so is a fucking millennial stupid idea. Bro jobs. It just reminds me of that fucking line from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, but the late great George Carlin. They're like, don't be so suburban. It's the new millennium. Gay, straight, it's all the same now. There's no more lines. But I agree with Jason Mewes. Yeah, well, there's a line, and on this side of it, we ain't gay.
Yeah. So the Survival Punk Army... Survival Punk does not endorse bro jobs, my friends.
No, we do not endorse bro jobs at all. Whoa.
And on that bombshell...
It is time to end. So, for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sickwin Burnett.
And if you're willing to suck a dick, just admit that you're either a straight woman or a gay man.
DIY to download, DIY to survive, ebooks, use guys!
Use guys!